Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Tzadik Vov. And we're holding in the bottom of Tzadik Hei Amud Beis. We're in the middle of a sugi here, and you recall we're talking about, unfortunately, a gazlan who has stolen, for instance, an animal. And as a result of stealing, he has caused there to be, Baruch Hashem, an increase in appreciation. The marshal, you're talking about an animal that was previously a reconis, and now the animal is mu'baris. Or previously it was a rochel that was barren of wool, and now it's full of wool. And now the nigzel finds the gazlan, the police arrive, and they take back the goods. The question is, what happens with the additional shvach, that appreciation that has occurred during the time that the gazlan was in charge of these goods? Who does that belong to? You recall the machlokes yesterday between Rav Zvid and Rav Papa, Amiroyim, as to the views of Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon. Focusing in particular on Rav Papa, Alibet Rav Shimon, where does that find itself in yesterday's Gemara? It's roughly 55-60% of the way down. El Rav Papa, the Omer de Gazlan Hava. Hamani Lerim Yehuda Lerim Shimon, Omer Chapapa, who identified La Yolda. That's really not the place I was looking for. What we're looking for is where it says Lemechlo Shishu Ravia. So let's go further down. Kanye Kavase Dira Papa. It's about 75% down. Thank you. Reb Shimon Omer Royin Oisa Keilu Hishuma Esli VeKesef Lemechza Lishlish VeLeRavia. What does that mean? That means that the Gazlan who has improved upon the chattel. This animal is no longer reconis. Now it is
Muberes.
Thank you. No longer barren. Now it's Tuuna Tzemer. Who gets the benefit of that? So says Rav Papa, Aliba Drib Shimon. You have to return the animal, obviously, to the Nigzal. However, the Gazlan gets some payment for the time that he worked with this animal. What does he get? Says Rav Papa, Alid Rav Shimon, he gets like the normal local custom if you happen to be an oris. Oris means that you're a sharecropper, that you take care of other people's property. And what is the standard commission? Typically, mechza lishlish v'lervia. And that's how much he would receive.
What is that amount?
Okay, mechza, what does mechza mean?
Half.
Half, very good. How much is a shlish?
Third.
How much is a revia?
Fourth.
You want to continue giving the share? You see, you know perfectly.
No, so how's this calculated?
Okay, that's a very good. Very good question. Normally, a resus is in connection with a piece of real estate. So you give farmland at the beginning of the season. You have a person who is a doctor by profession. However, he inherited from his great-grandmother a piece of farm, a field. He doesn't have time to go and work in it. He hires Yankel Smith to take care of the whole property from beginning to end. He says, you don't have to give me a din b'cheshbon. You take care of it. Whatever overhead expense is yours, whatever profit, we're going to divide up and I'm going to give you a percentage. And that percentage is going to be either
a third
or
a fourth, a quarter.
Or a half.
Half.
Exactly. Right. So whatever the local custom is, at the end of the year, he's Baruch Hashem going to have 100 bushels of wheat. You can go and keep 25, you can keep 33, you can keep 50. There's a Toisvis, I believe in Bamatzia, that says it's the other way around, that it's the owner that gets the Mechlesh Lishwarevia. But normally the way you learn is that the Oris gets the Mechlesh Lishwarevia and he gets that compensation. So far so good?
Thank you very
welcome. So now we have a situation where the animal was previously worth, at the time of Gezeila, $100. As a result of the appreciation, because it's no longer a kun, it's now it's Me'uberes, it's now worth $120. You have to return that $120 animal back to the Nigzal. But he's entitled to go and get the Mechzal Sheshvarevia, meaning of that.
Why is he entitled? I mean, the guy's a thief.
We have the theological, sociological, philosophical reasons we could discuss for hours. We really have to focus our time on the halacha.
Yes,
the halacha says, Rav Papa, Alib Drib Shimon. By the way, Reb Yehuda disagrees. By the way, Reb Zvid disagrees with Rav Papa and how you understand Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon. In addition to that, there was a Reb Meir that argued with all of them. All of them have different views. All we're saying is that Alibet Reb Papa, Alibet Reb Shimon, he gets a quarter, a third, or a half. Whether morally this is correct, whether ethically it's correct, that is not the discussion. We're talking about the legal bottom line. Yes, sir.
Would that only kick in if he actually did something, like when he stole the cow, he gave a counterpart to the cow to enable
it? That is the assumption. The Gemara doesn't go into those very fascinating, intricate details, but that is the assumption.
No, because if it's a sheep, the sheep is just growing, so the wool comes, meaning like he didn't do anything to make it grow.
That, you're correct. However, if he would keep the sheep, the lamb, locked up in a cage and did not give it any food to eat, then it wouldn't produce anything except eventually a carcass that would probably have a very foul odor. So the fact that he supported it and allowed it to graze and gave it whatever food one gives to these animals, so presumably that's what allowed for the growth of the wool. Anyway, bottom line is our Gemara says that according to Rav Papa, according to Yehuda, the Goslin, I don't want to use the word entitled because you'll get very upset about that, the Goslin receives L'mechlesh L'shvurviyah. However, then the Gemara asked a question yesterday, does he get that in the form of a joint shutfus, as if he happens to be a partner in the fetus that eventually is going to become a vlad, and that if and when, for instance, they're going to shech this in a year from now, he's going to get 33% of the meat, or does it mean he gets a fee? In other words, they're going to pay him out with money. And that the Gemara concluded, no question, it must be with money. So if you look back again at the Gemara, Omer Ravashi ki havinan bei Rav Kahana, we're about a quarter from the bottom of the Yemen, like 12 lines or so. So Ravashi said, when I was in the Bais Medrash of Kahani, Moylem Rav Shimon hu, the Omer, the Mechzah Shush v'Raviya, hu de shokel Gazlan, that the Gazlan receives that quarter, third, or half. Kimis Alkinan Le, when you pay him off that portion, Bidamdis Alkinan Le, you give him money. Or maybe he gets a piece of the action, a piece of the actual blood, a piece of the actual behemoth. You're very welcome. We already explained all three of those in some detail yesterday. We only have to focus on for today's Gemara the Bal Choyv Lilakeach. And what means the Bal Choyv Lilakeach? So if you look at the Rashi, which is about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amid, Bal Choyv Lilakeach, the Rashi. Bal choyv ha-toyref l'kuchayis b'shvil choyv sheyesh loy al ha-moicher. Aha. Ein loy koyech b'mesh yishbiach loy keach. You have over here a person that borrowed money. And the lender, the malva, says to the loyve, what happens if you're not going to pay me on the maturity date? No problem. I give you a lien on my properties. Oh, that's great. So then, if and when he doesn't pay the loan, he goes over to the loiva and he says, loiva, the maturity date has come and gone. I've already given you 8 extensions. Now it's time to pay. Where is the money? He says, well, unfortunately, I have no assets left. Well, what happened to all of those real estate properties that you had previously? I sold them. Who did you sell them to? To Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Good. He goes to the final purchaser, the one that was the last purchaser of the line, and he says, I understand that you bought a piece of property. Yeah, that's right. That property had impressed on it, a lien for the loan. My loan pre-existed your purchase of the property. Let's check out the documents and let's check the records. And in fact, it's true that that loan preceded, and therefore there's a lien on that property for that loan. Unfortunately, the loiva has no money. I'm taking the property back. Okay? Now, the lokeach, who had bought this, presumably knowing that there was this lien, and if he didn't, it doesn't really make a difference. But bottom line is, he has to cough it up, and in the meantime, he has put in time and effort and labor in improving this property. And now the property is worth more than it was originally. So, we just said, according to Reb Shimon, according to Reb Papa, then the lekeach is entitled to go and get back a portion of that shvach that he has improved on the property. How are you going to go and give that? The lekeach says, since I'm entitled to lemoshel 25% or half of this property, I want you to go and give me a part of the property. And then the Bal Choyv says, no, I want the whole property for myself. I had a lien on it. As far as what you are entitled to receive, you should go and get that in money instead of getting it in actual property. So that's what the Rashi addresses. Again, Bal Choyv Lekeach. Bal Choyv HaTorif Lekuchais. The Bal Choyv, that's the Malva, he's being Torif, he's taking from the Lekeach, Bishvil Choyv Sheyesh Lei Al HaMoicher, because of the Choyv. The Lekeach is, in a sense, an innocent third party, except for the fact that he probably got a discount on the purchase price of the property because of that pre-existing lien. But regardless, the Bal Choyv takes that away because of the Choyv that the Moicher had. Ein Lekeach, the mesh is biach lekeach, who mesalkoi bal choiv bedomim. The bal choiv pays him back with money. The noisen le demei shvachai. They noisen le karka beshir shvachai. He doesn't go and give him karka, he rather goes and just gives him money. Now, in this case, we don't have to come on to the mechlis lishma rabia. It's a much simpler case. We're just talking about a simple case where the moicher sold the property, the marshal, for $100. The marshal, the loan was also for $100, although we'll talk about that later. So therefore, he's entitled to take back the property. But the property is no longer worth $100. Now it's worth $125 because our lekeach improved upon it, and therefore it's worth already more. So the lekeach says, when I bought it, it was $100. Your loan is $100. But I put in all of this effort, now it's worth $125. What about that $25? That since 25 is a fifth of 125, or it's a quarter of 100, whichever way you want to look at it, says the lekeach, I see I'm going to lose this property. I mean, there's no question about it. You have your lien. But at least leave me a fifth or a quarter of the property to make up for that 25, that shvach that I added to the property. Says the Bal Choyv, good try. I'm taking the property, the whole property away from you, and I'm going to give you a check for the $25 appreciation that the property is no longer worth $100, now it's worth $125.
Does he own the whole shevach?
Who?
Does the Bal Choyv who foreclosed on the lokeach because the lova couldn't pay, mm-hmm. does he have to pay him all the expenses?
He has to pay him the shir shvach, whatever the property is now worth more than it was worth before.
But he improved property that didn't belong to him, effectively. I mean, it's like me going into your garden and weeding and...
One second, you're talking about a gazlan nigzel. Here's when I'm moicher lekeach. Okay, so lekeach was hopeful that the moicher would continue to have funds to be able to go and pay for all of his debts.
Okay.
And therefore, he legitimately improved it.
And so his expenses are protected by the Bezdin to be fully reimbursed.
It's not a question of expenses, it's a question of the shvach. Obviously, typically, the improvement would be more than expenses, but sometimes the expenses can be more
What about, so the outlay that the person put into the karka to improve upon it, he doesn't get reimbursed?
It's not that he doesn't get reimbursed. He gets reimbursed the amount that the property is worth more today. Most of the time when people put expense and labor and love and time and effort into property, and now it's worth more, you would assume that the value that it has appreciated is more than the amount of the expense.
Cash out.
And therefore, you prefer, of course, getting that amount. Mm-hmm. There can be times when the market is the other way around. You put in a tremendous amount of expense, and unfortunately has not gone up. Exactly. So, therefore, you go according to the amount of the shvach. Whatever it is appreciated, no matter how much you put in, whether you put in a nickel, you put in $1 million, if it's now worth $25 more, he gets back the $25, but in cash. He doesn't get a piece of the action.
What if the reverse is true, that during the time that lokeach had the property, he
ruined it.
Exactly.
Okay, well, lokeach had a right to.
I didn't say he didn't, but the thing is that the value of the property went down.
Has gone down.
Would he have to come out of pocket?
Out of pocket. What happened is that the original Bal Choyv says, I can only collect $80 from you because it was worth $100, but now it's $80, so I'm going to go to the next guy on the line. In other words, he may have had a lien on three or four different properties. You always go to the last one that was still with the original mocher, because that's why he nachli l'chamokim ligvis mimenu. Each one of the earlier purchasers says, I left that final property for you to go and collect your choyv, but it's not enough to collect the choyv. I can only get 80. So he goes to the next guy on the totem pole and gets the additional 20 from him. Good. You're very welcome. Anyway, all of that was to be poshed the shayla of the gavi the mechzor shushfor aviyah. According to Reb Shimon, according to Reb Papa, do you go and get a piece of the pie, a piece of the basar, or do you go and get a check for the shvach? In that case, on the mechzor shushfor aviyah, here for the entire shvach, says you might get a check. Okay, Frank Dimar, So what have we concluded now? That according to Shmuel, in the case of the Baal Choyv Lekeach, the Lekeach is entitled to go and get a check for the Shvach. Now we're 7 lines from the bottom. Omli Ravdil Ravashi, mi Omer Shmuel Baal Choyv Lekeach, Yov Le Shvach. Does Shmuel hold that Baal Choyv even has to give him the Shvach? But Mishmuel Baal Choyv Goyves a Shvach. The Baal Choyv takes the property with the Shvach, lock, stock, and barrel. He doesn't have to give him a nickel. If you look at the Rashi, or on Tzadik Hei Amud Beis, 95b, Rashi's 2 lines from the bottom, Goyves a Shvach, Veinem Machzel Lekeach Klum. He gives him nothing. Here you're telling me he gives him the Shvach, and does he give him the Shvach the full amount based on the appreciation of the property, and then Ariel and Daniel want to know the expense, etc., etc.? Do you get a piece of the action? Do you go and give him a check? What are you saying? According to Shmuel, this is the same Shmuel that we're talking about. Shmuel says when it comes to Baal Choyv, he's goyves a Shvach, and he doesn't give Lekeach a penny. It's the Chastira Shmuel on Shmuel. Now, presumably the real word should be leksefayim, which would mean the shoulders. However, typically one says shvach hamagia leksofim, v'kam b'shvach she'im magia leksofim. What does that mean? Shvach hamagia leksofim means that the improvement on the property is in the form of, for instance, a field of tvua, where the tvua is already ready to be cut and to be schlepped on the people's axlin, our shoulders, to go and take it to the granary or take it and put it into the wagon. So shvach amigil ksofim means that it's ready to be cut, ready to be harvested. Shvach she'im magil ksofim means it's not ready to be harvested yet. If you look at the last Rashi, magil ksofim, keep going, tvua, shigod the kol tzarka, the tvua is all done, it's totally right. Noisin lekeach, that he has to leave with lekeach oidomeha. Ah, so it really depends. If the Shvach is still in the property itself, because the Tvur has not ripened yet, maybe it's only half ripe, maybe it's even not at that point, maybe we're just in the beginning of the winter season, he has done the proper plowing, he has done the fertilizing, he's done the seeding, and now we're waiting, the rains are going to come, the Kodesh Baruch Hu will give the rain, B'Shefa, and then eventually in March, April, it's going to sprout and it's going to grow. But it hasn't happened yet. So if it happens to be Shvach HaMagil HaKsofim, it's already deemed to be as if it's cut, Kol Oymen Likzer Kekotzer Dami. So don't look upon this as a property, as a field with standing grain. Look upon this as a property with a whole bunch of bundles of grain on the floor. It hasn't taken place here, but it's Magil itself. We're ready at that point to go and harvest and cut. In such a situation, says Lekeach, come back tomorrow. In the meantime, I'll get all of this to and I'll sell it, and it's not part of your lien anymore. It's no longer part of your karka. Says Shmuel, you're 100% right. Lekeach, you got a good point. We're going to go and give you your shvach. You'll be able to go and keep all of that tvua that's growing or that has already grown, that you're ready to cut, that's yours. Or, if you want, you can just leave the tvua there and I'll give you money, like Rashi says at the end. You can go and cut it yourself and keep it, or I'm going to give you the money, like Shmuel said before. On the other hand, if it's shvach she'ein magil ksofim, that type of shvach that's part and parcel of the property, says the Gemara, he does not have to go and give him a nickel. He doesn't have to give him anything. The lekeach, unfortunately, has lost his risk over here. Remember, the lekeach knew or should have known when he bought the property that there was a lien on the property. Presumably, that was a factor in the price. Normally, this piece of karka might have commanded a price of $150, but because he knew that there was a lien for the possibility of the foreclosure on the lien on this property, so presumably they didn't go and pay $200, $150, only paid $100, whatever it was. But unfortunately, the gamble did not pay off, and it turned out that the Baal Choyv is now taking the property away. So if the Shvach is not Magil Ktefayim, it's still part and parcel of the property, and he takes the whole property away, and he doesn't have to give him anything.
So what if he didn't know there was a lien?
Then he should go and fire his lawyer and sue him. Exactly. Anyway.
So if he built the building, then he loses that.
Now we're getting beyond the four quarters of our Gemara.
The silo, or, you know, the...
Exactly. Anyway, well, we're not finished yet, Rabbi Seif. That's the reason why we had already learned all of this yesterday, believe it or not. We're going over it because the Gemara is going to go and make further nuanced details and distinctions. Frank Dimars, you're telling me that there's a difference between Shvach and Magir Lekzofim, that in that case, says Shmuel, you got to pay him, because that's already, as if it's already Niktzar, as if it's already harvested. Is that true? Omalev Omas Bechol Yoim, Vekom Magvi Shmuel Afilu Shvach and Magir Lekzofim. Shmuel is a dayan who sits on Bate Dinan, and it's Mas B'choyim, it's almost a daily occurrence that Shmuel allows the Baal Choyf to go and even grab that, not grab, to go and take the property together with those Tvua, which is already ready to be cut. Even Shvach HaMegil Eksofen. And you just said, Shvach HaMegil Eksofen, you have to pay him, or give it to him, or give him the money. No, no, no. Shmuel says you can go and keep it. What's going on? Amalei Lekashim. Snishvet. It really depends on the amount of the loan. If the loan was $100 and the property was $100 plus this additional shvacha magir exofim, which makes it now worth $125, then he has to go and give back the $25 because it's ready to be harvested. Therefore, he has to give it back either in the form of I leave you the tvoah, or I'll give you money, like Rashi said at the end. However, what happens if, in fact, the loan was 125? The property was previously only 100. And because of the shvach that the lekeach has improved it, and now it's worth 125. Say, Shmuel, if the lien was 125 for that loan, and the property is worth 125, you can take the whole property together with the shvach, because now, Baruch Hashem, your lien will be totally fulfilled, satisfied.
So the lokeach suffers at the benefit of the previous purchaser, as it were.
Not previous purchaser,
no, but the purchaser of another
of the lender.
No, what I'm saying is there's another. There was five properties. Mm-hmm. This is the fifth one. There's the person who bought the fourth one.
Why shouldn't he be able to go and get from? But as far as the lokeach is concerned, he's not without remedy. The lokeach can go back to the moicher and say, "Give me back my 25." However, we're just talking about the relationship.
125.
Well, we're focusing only on the shepherd.
Oh, okay.
Wonderful. There may be other business dealings they have with him too. Yeah. But in terms of the shvach, you go and say, okay, you have to pay me 25. You took it away.
We're talking about the lender. He has priority to seize even the crops because it satisfies his lien.
Exactly right. Okay. So that's the difference between even in the case of Shvach HaMegil Eksofim, it really depends on what the amount of the original lien was relative, for the original relative to the property. Exactly right. Omale. So now, that's the Gemara until this point. Now the Gemara asks a question. You keep on saying that the Baal Choyv can be Mesalikim Bedom. You just go and give him money. He doesn't have to go and give him a piece of the pie. In other words, if in those cases where the shvach is such that you would go and give it, that the lekeach will return the shvach, will retain the shvach, or in the case of, for instance, the gazlan, where we said that the gazlan retains lemech l'shush v'reviyah, that you give money rather than a piece of the pie, a piece of the action. Omalei honich leman diomer I isle zuzu lekeach lematzi mesalik lelabal choiv shapir. According to that mandiyama, I understand very well. Ele mandiyama I isle zuzu lekeach matzim mesalik lebal choyv lei malei I have li zuzi I have mesalik lechami kuliyar hashda have li griva di arish yish vachoy. What does the Gemara mean to say? What the Gemara means is the following: what happens any time a bal choyv comes to the lekeach who bought the property with the lien on the property? What happens? The lekeach says to the bal choyv, "There's no question about it that your lien precedes and preempts my purchase of the property, and I lost. There's no question about that. However, tell me, what is the amount of your chayv?" Well, here's the promissory note. I'll show it to you. It's $100. You know what? Instead of you taking the property, I'm going to write you a check, I, the lekeach, for $100, because I love this field. I've already put time and effort and a lot of expense in it, and I'll keep the property. And you take the check, and I mean, that's all you're entitled to, because you had a loan, it was $100, here I give you the money. The question is, does the lekeach have that right? You would think, sure, why not? I mean, after all, $100 lent, he gets $100 back. Or you might say to yourself, no, that's the malvun, he lent the money, he was already thinking ahead. I know that this loiv is not b'cheshleper, and the chances of his paying back in cash are slight, and so therefore slim. You know what? There's a good chance he won't be able to pay, and I see he has all these wonderful real estate properties. I'll be able to go and take one of the properties away. Now, obviously, if the loiv himself can come up with the cash, obviously he pays more for the cash. The question is, what is the lekeach who bought the property? Does he have the right to go and say, I'll pay you off with cash? Or does he unfortunately lose the property because of the preemptive lien, the lien that was there from before of the balchay? And that's a machloikis. So there's one mandiyomar, honich le mandiyomar, I isle izuzi le lekeach, that if the lekeach has cash, le matzi misalik le balchay. He cannot say to the Baal Chayv, here, I'll give you the $100, you go away, and I'm going to keep my property. Then shopper. Then that works well. What does it mean works well? We'll see in a moment. Elman Yomi is lay zuzu lekech, matzim masalik lay le Baal Chayv. According to Elman Yomi, that says that if lekech has Baruch Hashem funds, he can go and say, Baal Chayv, I give you a check for $100, sayonara, goodbye, you're paid off. If that's the case, lay malay, let's lekech say now to the Baal Chayv, who's trying to take his property away, ihavali zuzi, if I had enough money to pay off the entire choiv, hamisalkin lechom ikuli ara, then I would have given you $100 and I would say goodbye and you'd have been satisfied and I would keep the entire property. Hashta, unfortunately, I don't have so much cash to pay you off, but do me a favor. At least havali griva the ara shirsh vachoy. At least leave me with a quarter or a fifth of the property. In our example, that the property has gone from 100 to 125, so it's gone up by a quarter or a fifth, depending which way you look at it. So he says, leave me now, let's go and take the property, divide it up into fifths. You'll take 4/5, that'll be 100. I'll take the final fifth, I'll take the 25. Give me 20% of the property. Isn't that fair? After all, if I had enough money, I'd throw you out from the entire property. I don't have enough money to throw you out entirely, so at least leave me with a small part of the property. Why? Because am I not so entitled? That's what the Lekeach says to the Baal Chayv. So according to Man Yomar, that holds that the Lekeach doesn't have the right to be Mesalikin, then I understand. You have no rights. The Baal Chayv has all of the rights, and the Baal Chayv can go and say, Mister, I'm taking the property, you're not getting anything, and I'm going to give you a check for your shvach. But according to Bani Yomar, that says that the Lekeach retains certain rights, and he can go and pay off and be Mesalik the Baal Chayv, why can't he say to the Baal Chayv, I don't have enough money to Mesalik you totally, but at least, you know, that little $25 check that you're going to give me, let me give it back to you, and let me keep that griev in the ara, 1/5 of the ground, 1/5 of the land. On Malay, even that man the Yomar will agree that Hachamayiskinen in a case can go into Shavya Nile Apoitiki. Apoitiki doesn't mean just a general lien, it means a specific mortgage lien on this property. The word Apoitiki means Poit to Hei Koi, which means that at the time of the original loan, the Malva says to Loiva, Loiva, Ayachamayra, you're not going to be able to pay the loan on the maturity date. So what are we going to do? I'm going to give you a general lien. I don't like general liens. So what would you like? I want a specific lien. You know, see this corner property, 91st and Western Avenue? It's right next to Rabbi Feuernstiebel. It's right next to the Koil. That's the best property in New York. That's the property that I want. Okay, fine. I give you a point to key on that property. Oh, in such a situation, if now a lokeach buys that property where there's a specific mortgage lien on that property itself, everybody would agree that the lekeach cannot be mesalikim b'damim, even if he had the full $100. He can't be mesalikim. In such a case, that's why the Baal Chayv can go and tell him, and I'm not going to give you a griva da'ara, I'm just going to give you the $25, $25 check, and we're satisfied and we're done. And with this, we've concluded this fascinating discussion regarding Baal Chayv and the lekeach. Omarov. Let's get back to the Gazlan now. Remember, according to what we said, according to Reb Shimon, Rashi has two pshatim in our Gemara, but we'll make life simple. Yeah. We'll just go with Reb Shimon, since we're familiar with that. According to Rapapa, according to Reb Shimon, the Gazlan is able to retain a kesef of lemechsel shvish v'raviyah because he's improved on this animal. So Gazal v'hishbiach. What happens if, in fact, he stole the animal, the gazlan. Vishbiach, and he was mashbiach the animal. The animal was previously a reikonis of 100, and now it's $120 because it's uberes. Same thing for the shepsula that is now full of wool. Umacher, and he sold it now to someone else. Or gazel vishbiach, and nebuch, the gazlan passed away. Maybe it's not such a nebuch because he's a gazlan, but he passed away. He left the animal now for pirusha to the kindlech. So now the question is, the Nigzal finally comes on the scene and says, it's my property, the police take it away, and we adjudicated that it belongs now to the Nigzal. What happens to that Shvach? Says Rabba, Mashishbiach, Mocher Mashishbiach, Hoyrish. The amount of the Shvach, meaning the entitlement that the Gazlan had, you don't like the word entitlement, but the legal right that the Gazlan had to the extra Lemechsa Shushu Reviyah, that went along with the sale, and that goes along with the Arusha, meaning that the Likiach can say, I'm giving you back the property, I'm giving you back this Purim Uberes, but you got to go and pay me the Lamechsa Shushu Reviyah. And so the Yorshim can say the same thing. We're giving you back the property, but we want that Lamechsa Shushu Reviyah. Now, Frank, yes, you have a question?
If Gozal and Machar, it's Chai Dalu Vehei. If it's a para, it's high five times. I mean, he had this whole maruba.
Right.
What's this suddenly? Does the quintuple damage, the quintuple payment swallows any shvach? Doesn't it? How much more can a pregnant animal be worth? I mean, unless it's pregnant, she's pregnant with quintuplets.
I have no problem with your
quintuplets.
I understand. So according to, let's talk about the case of the para. Case of the para, how much do you have to pay?
Return the principal.
I understand.
And then he has to pay
back. Four or you pay five?
You pay five for the par.
Five. Good. So you're paying now five times for the par. So now that you're paying five times for the par, and the Gazlan shelled out the entire amount, or the Lekeach wouldn't have to do it, but the Yorshim have already shelled out the entire amount, of assuming that the Yorshim have to go and pay that Knas. They have to go and pay out the entire amount. Or even if the Gazlan was still alive and he paid out the five.
Right.
And now we're talking about, okay,
it was all Machar, right.
We now have the situation, he sold it, and now that he sold it, there is, the Gazlan says, you know, it's just like if you ever bought or sold a house, they always have those closing statements, and they show how much you have to pay for the real estate, and how much you pay for the lawyers, and how much you pay for the title company, and this and this, and how much do you get benefits.
Adjustments.
Okay, so now we have an adjustment over here. Yeah. We're already past the Dalad the Hay stage. That has already been paid for in total.
Okay.
But now the Gazlan says, but I'm entitled to something,
okay,
and that's the Mechlesh Shishvur Abir. If the Gazlan is dead, then the Yorshim say, well, we're entitled to that adjustment. Right. Or in the case of the Lekeach says, I'm entitled to that adjustment. So, says Imar, he's entitled to it. Boy Rava, so now Rava asks the following Shaila. Hishbiach Lekeach Mahu. What happens if the Gazlan stole it, and he sold it to Lekeach, and now the Lekeach went, and he was mashbiachit, and he makes the property worth more. And now we have the Nigzal coming back, and he's collecting back the property. What about that Mechsa Shushu Reviyah? Does Lekeach have a right to go and say, I've improved on the property that was stolen? For instance, this animal which was Reikonis, and now happens to be a Mu'beres, it's a Mu'beres, thank you. So does Lekeach have that same right? The Gazlan has that right, because that's what we learned on the Yomar Bezik and Trapapa, according to Reb Shimon. Question is, according to that man, the Yomar, what would he hold if the Gazlan sold it, and now he paid his dollar to address your issue,
right,
and now the Lekeach went and bought it, and he's Mashbiachit, and now eventually Nigzal is taking this Purim Uberes back. What's the story? Can the Lekeach also say, I want the Mechsa Shushu? But after Rav asked the Shaila, he himself was poishet. When the Rishon sold this property to the Sheni, in other words, this Gazan sold it to the Lekeach, what was included, even though it wasn't written in the documents, but whatever rights are pertinent thereto, and one of those rights is, according to Rav Papa, according to Rav Shimon, the right of the Gazan to receive payment of the Mechsa Shushu Reviyah for converting this animal from a Reikonis into a Mu'uberes. Oh, so that right was sold to Lekeach, and if Lekeach does it, he's also entitled to receive the same Mechsa Shushu Reviyah. Boy Rava.
So the Gazlan sold this to a person.
Correct.
And that's how he gets the hay, right? Because it was sold.
The dollar of hay, correct.
And now it was his.
When you say he gets, that means the nigzal receives the benefit of the dollar of hay because it's sold.
Right,
right. Continue on.
So then the lokeach, the person who bought this, you're saying, who's being toveya this shvach? It can't be the goslin. Who's the goslin's already out of the picture. He sold it.
Exactly. So right. Now the lekeach works on
it. So the lekeach is the one who's now the but it doesn't belong. Who's going to repossess this cow?
The nigzal.
The nigzal. Right.
He's allowed to. It's.
It's his cow.
No, yeah. But it's shina rishus and shina.
All the shina rishus and shina mites and all of that is only if the thing is not extant. But if still alive and kicking, you're always entitled to get back your original property. Okay. Except for those cases, we have to punish a shoven. You have a meirish which is built into the property, then that would be different. But under normal circumstances,
so the nigzal can come in and say, "I want this."
Thing. Exactly. By the way, the din of dala dehei, does that apply to gzela or only to gneva?
I believe it applies to both.
Okay, well, we'd have to check that out.
I believe. I saw a note. I remember seeing a note in the it says it's mentioned with terms of gneva, but it also.
Okay. Anyway,
I remember seeing a note in the article about that. So.
Okay. Good. So getting back to next month. Boy Rabba, very simple shayla on the surface. What happens if the gazlan was a goy, not a Jewish person? And this gazlan now, he was mashbiachit. And now the nigzel takes it back from the goy, from the gazlan. Now what's the story? Does the gazlan, who's the goy, can he say, well, I hold like her papa, Aliba the Rav Shimon, and I want Mechzat Shlish Ravia. Is he entitled to that? Omele Ravacha, Medif Ravina, the Kantalai, the Kechoven, Nekov and Avid. Is that enough that we made a Takana that we allow the Jewish Goslem to go and get the Mechzat Shlish Ravia? We should go the next step and say that even a Goyish Goslem should go and get a Mechzat Shlish Ravia. Not Nishtu. No, we were not so Messiah. Omele, he answered him back. Loi Tzricha. In that case, I understand you perfectly, and really, that wasn't my question. What happens if originally the goy was the gazlan? He wasn't mashbiachid, but he sold it to a Jew, and now the Jew was mashbiachid. What's the story now? If and when the nigzel takes the property back, do I go and say that he's entitled to the mechzat shlish ravia because the one that was mashbiachid was a Jew? However, of course, the origins of his receiving this property were from gzeila. She says, he's just a derivative of the goy. If you're telling me by a goy we were not mesakel mechzat shlish ravia, then the Jew that bought it from the goy also doesn't have the mechzat shlish ravia. She says, well, you have a good point. No, it's really going to gozel Yisrael. A goy, a yid, stole it. Vizavna nirle, and he went and sold it to a goy. And now the goy was the one that was mashbiach, and he made it nice and pretty, and he improved upon it. And now he sold it to another Jew. So we have the gazlan, a Jew, sold it to the goy who improved on it, and now the goy sold improved property to a second Jew. And now the nigzal was finally able to track where the property went, and he goes to the second Jew, and he gets the property back. Now the question is, can that ultimate Yisrael say, well, this property had shvach on it, you have to pay l'mechzat shlish ravia, and since I'm the ultimate purchaser, I get all the rights. Give it to me. It's mine. Me and Rinnin give the meikar Yisrael. Behold Yisrael. If you look at number one and number three, they're both Yisraelim, Yidin, Abdir Abad, excuse me, the Chum made a takana. What's that takana? He gets his mechzat shlish ravia. Since the Ivakam was there in the middle, and by the way, he was the one that made the Shvach, maybe the other Rebbe on the Takanta, maybe there is no Takana after all. Teiku Tishbitas. Now we start from here to the bottom of the Amid. We're going to focus on not so much Shinui Maisa as much as Shinui Hashem. That sometimes when something has changed in its name, that's deemed to be like a Shinui Maisa, and therefore. Now, usually you don't have a Shini Hashem on its own. Usually accompanies a Shini Maisa. So you have a Shini Maisa and Shini Hashem. Question is, does that now give the Goslin more rights in terms of Kinyonic Zela? So Omer Rabba, Haiman the Gozel Dikla Nechabe, a person who stole a tree from someone else, the Kotle, and he chopped it down. Avagav nishadya may arali aradite, even though, for instance, what happens if the Gazlan and the Nigzal are neighbors, a real nice guy, this Gazlan, he goes over the border, the boundary between his property and the other, he cut it down, and guess what happens? And the tree fell now onto his property. Lo ikoni, you do not say that the Gazlan gets kinyon gzeila, meaning he has to return the tree itself. He can't say, this tree is a gesunter tree. I may want to try to replant it, or I may want to make lumber out of it. No, you have to go and give it back in Shigona. What's the reason why my timer? Because may call it Dikla Mikri, Mahashanami Dikla Mikri. Before it was called the palm tree, and now it's still called the palm tree. Nothing has changed. Grad the Toisis is bothered by this because he says, what happens if you stole the behemoth and then you killed the behemoth? Then you would say it is a Shinoi. And it does, but the carcass now, or if you shechted it, the meat now belongs to the Gazlan, and he has to go and pay money. Why is that different than killing an animal from killing a tree? So there's a very short toisis here. The Gazal Dikla Vekatla, you see the toisis. Avagav, the Gazal Behem Vekatla. He would be kani there, he would be koina, the animal. Ha'asam avishini demin katvei. There it's obvious, it's a big difference between a cow that's walking down the street and snorting and making noise and coming and going, as opposed to either a dead carcass or a geshachten animal. Masha'en ken legabi a tree. Here you look at a tree, it's a huge tree. The big, big tree has not changed, essentially. So therefore, it's loikai.
Cut it down or uprooted it with the ability to replant it. Is there a subtlety there?
No, it's a very good point. I also assumed initially that it was still so much intact that you can
replant it.
But you're going to see now that he made, even if he makes fundamental changes, such as, Dickley, he stole the tree. Ovid guvi means he cut it down and made logs, like you would put into a fire, for instance. Loikani, he's still not koina. Why isn't he koina? Well, that's a big change from a deco. Once you make it to logs, presumably you can no longer replant it. Bahashta mi is guvi de dikla mikri. Even though it's no longer called dikla, it's still called guvi de dikla. In other words, that someone who looks at these logs says, oh, these are pine tree logs. Oh, these are good for a fire. These are good for lumber. These are good for whatever. So you don't just call it logs. I mean, me, a city sticker, I go and look at logs, are logs, are logs. But people that are in this business, they say, oh, that's still a pine tree log. Oh, that's choshev. So therefore, the name still attaches. However, guvi vavdino kishuri, now if you've taken the logs and you've cut them and made them into beams, like for building into a house, etc., then you have been koina, because now you have a real shini Hashem. Nobody calls it logs anymore, and now it's called kishuri, it's called beams. However, what happens if you started off kshuri ravravi? You stole large beams. Vavdinu kshuri is a tree. You cut them down to size and now they're smaller beams. Loikani. This is not beams and beams and beams. Okay. This is 8 by 10. This is 6 by 8, but it's still a beam. However, vavdinu kitzutzaisa. Tzutzaisa, says Rashi, means that you made them into boards. It's no longer a large beam. It's now a board. Oh, that really has a different name. That's kani. So you see all of these. It involves, of course, a shini maisa, but the important thing is if it has a major shini Hashem, then you're kind if you get kinyonic zay. Now, Omar Rava, very fascinating question. Haiman de Gozululiva, what happens if you steal a lulav like you use on sukkahs? The Avdinu Hutzi, what he did was he removed all of the alim, all of the leaves that are attached to the tioimus, attached to the spine, the shedra of the lulav. And now instead of having one lulav, he has now like 50 leaves. Kani, he's kind of Demikar lulav. Until now, everybody called it a lulav. Mikri, Vahashta Hutzi, and now they're called leaves. Nobody calls it a lulav anymore, just a bunch of leaves. What happens if he takes the Hutzi, Vavdinu Chufya, he took the leaves and now he made them into a broom. In other words, he attached a long stick and he attached them on the bottom, he made a broom out of it. Kani, then he is Kaina. Why does he Kaina? Because Meikar Hutzi, before it was called leaves, Vahashta Chufya, now it's called a broom.
Even though you could disassemble it.
That's going to be an extra. What happens if you took the chufya and you took those leaves from the broom and you transformed them and you made them into a rope? In other words, you attached them all together. You braided them. Loikani. Why not? My time and the other sauce, like you were just saying a moment ago. Because you can be so easy. You can.
We had earlier the kalim that you could disassemble easily.
Yeah, exactly. It's a shine hachoizel libriyos.
Right.
So here, the other sauce, you can go and take it apart and put together your broom again. And we're going to talk about this more on the Amid base. Boira papa, nechlekati yoimismau. What happens if you stole a lulav And now the tioimis in the middle, that's of course the at the very top, that's the middle leaf, got nechlika in the middle. Now we know the gabi hilchois sukkis, this is a hot issue, halacha lemaisa, it's possible. The question is, how much does it have to be nechlika? If it's roiv, then could everybody it happens to be possible. If it's only less than roiv, then that already becomes a shaila, and the medaktikim try to make sure that not even a mashahu is nechlika. Okay. Our Gemara doesn't go into that full depth in terms of the details, but at least it talks in general terms. So if a person nechlika tiyoyimis, he stole a luluf, and now it's nechlika that middle piece all the way at the top of the shadra, mahu, not only the gabi hilchas kashrus for sukkis, but the question is it considered to be a major shinoi that the gazlan is koine it, and now it's his? And when he has to pay back, he doesn't pay back the lulav, he goes and pays back money instead. Is it Gemara? Tarchaman the Umar Mosan Umar Bishum and Levi. Nitla Tiyomis. If Nitla means if it was uprooted, it was cut off the Mushul, that's possible. So Gemara, my love, who adin lenechlika, shouldn't the same din apply not only when it's Nitl, but also when it's Nechlik, when it's split down the middle? Wouldn't you say that it's possible the Gabi Hilchis Lulav? And if it's possible the Gabi Hilchis Lulav, then it's a strong enough shinoi that the gazlan is kainit, because until now he had a kosher lulav, and now he just has a reject because it's possible. My level didn't lechka. Dibalai, nitla shayi, dochasala. When it's nitla, then it's not a basal. According to this tzad in the Gemara, if it's nechlika, it's still kosher. So therefore, no major shinoi has taken place, and he has to give back the lulav itself. However, ikadiyami toshimadi my mosan shuman levi. Nechlika tiyomis nasa kimishin nitla upasal. Nechlika tiyomis taka apostle. That's, of course, the halacha that it's possible. Shmamina. So now, what do I learn from this according to the ikadiyami? Not only that it's possible gabi sukkis, but since there's been such a major change in its kashrus status, as a result, the gazlan is now coined because he no longer owns a lulav that was stolen, now he owns a pasul lulav, which is worthless. See, look at the top Rashi, my lavu adin lenechlika, v'kim the le'inyan pasul mifsula, then you make the nami shini uvekani, it's considered to be a change, and he is kaina, says Zimar, einachanami, it's not a big change, it's pasul, and therefore he's kaina the lulav, and he has to go and pay him money for that lulav.
If we had the example of Chametz on Pesach, because it's asur ba'ana, but if someone steals a lulav, worth, you know, a lulav, you know, sukkis, and returns, and kishas gzeila is worth $200, and he returns it after Shmini Atzeres. Hareisha chalaf menecha. Here's your lulav back.
Right.
It's worthless now. It's worthless. It's, you know, of his mano butter korbano, and it'll be dried out next year. It'll be yavish.
So we have similar cases that you're asking in the Mishnah that we're going to learn a little bit further down.
Okay. I'll hold my question.
Omar Papa. So Papa asked the following questions, and all of these are similar to what we were talking about. And the focus is whether you say that it's a shinoi achoiz libriachoi, that it will return to its origins. Excuse me. If the shinoi is choyna libriachoi, it's not a real shinoi. If it's not a real shinoi, there are no kinyon exela. So Omar Papa. Hayman de gozel afra mechavre. Person stole twice a pound of dirt from his chaber. Now he went and made it into a levena, into a brick for construction. Loikon, skudish. Why not? Until now it was offered, now it's a levena. My time with the Honda Mishavale Afra. All you do is take this brick and put it back into the grinding machine, and within a minute it's going to turn back to the offer that it was originally. So therefore it's a shinoi, chois lebriyosai, you're not going. What happens the other way around? With Levin to the Avdi Afra, he took a Levin, he made it into Afra, then he's Kayin. Why? My Amris, to Mahadaba Ovid Levinta, he can go and make it into a Levin again. So it's Vaita Choiz Lebriyase. I Levinta Achritihu. Upanam Chadosh is Bo Lekat. That's not the same Levin as before. Now, why is it a different Levin? So Rashi gives two reasons. Rashi says on the third line from the top, Shehutzach Tikun Vigivul Bifne Atzma. That you have to go and start the process fresh. It's not as if you go and take all these pieces of offer and just put on crazy glue and you put it back together again. You have to go and take the offer and add water, and you have to go through the whole machine and the whole process of the kneading and then and probably baking it or whatever. And so therefore, it's a brand new brick. It's not the same brick as before. It's brand new. Moreover, Rashi says at the end, the Efshel Tzamtzim Oygdoy Loiktan. You're not going to be able to make a brick to the exact same dimensions as before. It's going to be a drop more or a drop less, a drop different. So therefore, it's a different Levena, and therefore it's not a Chos Lebriyose. What's the Nafkimina between the first part of the Rashi and the second part of the Rashi? What happens if you manufacture bricks with pre-existing molds? If that's the case, L'choyre, every single brick is going to look exactly the same. It's going to be the same G'doy L'Oiktana. You'll be able to Metzamutzen. It comes out, you know, just like the form of the mold. But according to the first part of the Rashi, that each one requires tikkun the gibbuf of Neatzma, in that sense, it's like a brand new brick. It's not just you take all the offer and say, okay, put them together, you have your brick again. No, no, you got to start the whole process. And therefore, it's panim chadosh at Bodekan. V'yamra papa, ha'iman de gozal nascha. What happens if you steal a bar of silver, mechavrei? That's more valuable than, of course, the offer or the levinta. The oven zuzi, and then he himself took pieces of that nascha, and he made matbeis out of it. It's not like today that the governments mint all the coins. Apparently people could go and mint their own coins because the coins really went by weight, not so much by the George Washington or the Franklin or whatever the picture. And therefore, if it was a pound or an ounce or whatever, that it was worth its weight literally in gold or silver or whatever. So he made zuzi. Loikani, he's not kaina. My time, because you can easily take the zuzim and put it in the oven and melt them down and make a nascha out of it again. So it's a shinei hachoyz lebriyos. When I have a zuzi, I've done a nascha. When I have if you started off with a zuzi and you made it into a nascha, then you're kani. Why? My amris hada oved luhu zuzi. Why can't you take the nascha and make again zuzi like before? Again, barim chadosh is bol lekan. It's never going to be the exact same matbeis. It's going to be a little bigger, a little bit smaller. And a little, so it's not the same. Just like we said by the Levinta and the Ofer. Now, when I'm the Shchimi, when I'm if you have matbeis that have already been blackened because they've been in circulation for a long time and they're already dark. But now he made them brand new. As she said, he was malabin, then he polished them, maybe put it back in the furnace, maybe he put on silver polish, whatever. And now it's nice and bright and beautiful and all the rest. Loikani. Why is it loikani? Says Rashi, because if you just wait another month or 6 months, guess what? It's going to be just as black as it was originally. The whole reason why it got dark and black because it was exactly. When I'm chadati b'avdinu shchemi, you had brand new, and then you somehow immediately were able to go. You painted it, you dyed it, you did something with it to go and darken it. Then you're cutting. My amris hada avdinu chadati. You can tell me he can go and polish it and bring it back to its original state. Anytime you make something dark, even after you polish it, you'll still be able to see at the edges here on the top and the bottom that there's still some residue of that darkness that you've impressed on the coin, and so therefore it's not a full-fledged shinui. You can say, you did a great job of polishing, but look here on the top and the side and the bottom, you still can see little remnants of what was originally the change that he made with the darkening.
You could launder them, but it doesn't really...
laundering money. Yeah.
Very good, laundering money, very good. Okay, so with this we finished this whole discussion, and now we go back to our Mishnah. Remember, our Mishnah gave us several examples of Mishalim Kshas Gzela. We had the case of the person who stole the Eitzim and he made it into Kelim, and the Tzemer he made into Begodim, and he stole the animal, and the animal was Muberes, not Muberes, and he left the Muberes, he didn't... All the cases in the Gemara, the Mishnah said at the end, Zeh HaKlal. The general rule is, what do I need that additional Zeh HaKlal? I already went through a few examples. And we have this Rabbi Lo earlier on, you remember in our Masechta. Person stole a Tleh. Tleh means a Keves within its first year of age. And now what? And he held on to a Venasa Ayil. And then naturally, it gets now into the second year after the first birthday, and now it's become an eye. Or an egg, you stole a calf and asked a shor, and now it's become a full fledged shor. Even though he didn't go and put any expense into it, but just the fact that he held on to it is a shini Hashem, shini biyadu knoi, and he was kainit. What nafkimina does it have? Tavach umarcha shaloi hu tzeveach, shaloi hu meicher. Subsequently, he went and did a tvicha or machira. gets what the din will be. The din will be that he do not have to pay the dollar the hay, because it was as if you just were teveach or moicher your own item. You were koine with that shinoi. So just by the passage of time, he has now kinyone, kineva now belongs to him. And now it's his, so he's being teveach or moicher his own item. So now the Gemara tells us a story. Hahu gavra de gozel padna de turi mechabre. A person stole a pear. The word padan Rashi reminds us from the Chumash. You have padan Aram, because he had the two twin cities of Aram Naraim and Aram Tzoiva, which were close to each other. So padan Aram were the twin cities. Even like today, you have various cities which are called twin cities. Right? Minneapolis, St. Paul, I think Dallas and Fort Worth, they're called twin cities. It is also a twin pier of oxen. He stole both of them. Ozal and Karabahu Karba, and he went and did a harisha, means he plowed the field with the pair of oxen. Or Zarbuzara. Or he also used them for seeding the property. Lasoif Adrin Lamari. Eventually the Gazlan's a nice guy, Vesha's Xera Shagazlan, he returns it to the original owner. Osla Kamad Nachman. Now we come from Rav Nachman and Din Toira, Omalahu. Zilu shoimu shvacha di ashbach. What you Gazan should do is, after Gizantai, you had the benefit of the shvarim now for the last week or 2 weeks that you worked with it. Now you should go and pay the nigzal, the amount that your property has appreciated as a result of using these two oxen to improve it by plowing it and by planting it. The property's gone up in value. Give that shmach and hand it over to the nixel. Amalei Rava, Turi Ashbach, Aruloi Ashbach. If you would tell me that you have to go and talk about the payrus and that you're selling the payrus, I can understand that. But you're talking about how much the property is appreciated. Guess what? With the shvarim alone, nothing would have appreciated. Only appreciated because there is property. So the fact that the property is now worth no longer 100, now it's worth 110 because it's been plowed and it's been planted. So why should the nigzal get that full 10? Because after all, it was a combination of the ara and the shvarim that caused the ara to go from 100 to 110. Is Omer me come in and the shayma kuli? Palga come in. I agree with you, says Rav Nachman to Rava. I didn't mean that we should go and give the full 20 over to the full 10, whatever the amount was, to the nigzal. What I meant is go and split it in half. So therefore, if the property was worth 100, and now as a result of the plowing and planting, now it's worth 110, go and give 5 to the nigzal, and the gazel will retain 5, because after all, his property that appreciated. Amaloi says, soif gzelu, tzachas agzelu, the kohadr be'ina, and he has to return it. Did not call it gazlan misham kishas agzelu. Now, what was the shas exela? The shas exela was worth 100. So now, why does he have to pay that additional 5? He shouldn't have to pay anything. Just give him that original, just like we said by the ox, by the cow that was previously reikonis and now it's become muberes, or previously muberes and now there was a vlad. You have to pay kishas exela. So shas exela over here, when he stole these oxen, whatever the oxen were worth at the time, I'm giving you back. They haven't changed. They're just as strong. Why should I have to go and pay anything more than that? So Rav Nachman got a little bit irritated with Rava. And Amalei Liyamin Alecha, haven't I told you in the past? Ki Asimna Bedina, when I sit at a Din Torah, Leitem Limidi, don't express your unsolicited views. The Amahuna Chavrin, our Chavr of Huna, said Eloi about me. Ano, I. That's Rav Nachman. Veshover Malka, says Rashi, that's a reference to Shmuel. Shmuel was considered to be such a great genius in Hilchas Dina that he was like a royalty like Shover Malka. Aye, Shover Malka, Achim Dina. We happen to be brothers in Din. In other words, we're both very thought of in the highest of terms. Now you're wondering why we're punishing this Gazan that he has to go and pay the $5, of course, in the Shvach. Why don't we just say, I give back the animals and I'm done? Hay Inish Gazlan Atiku. He's a veteran criminal. And therefore we the Bezin decided we have to go impose upon him a penalty and he has to pay more than just returning the animals. Yes, Rabbi, you have a question.
So it's a special circumstance.
I have a difficulty understanding the sugya the following. If he stole a lamb and the lamb did not have yet got guzzled, if he would stay in the possession of the Gzal, automatically he would have the benefit of the Gizah.
This is Ariel's question earlier.
The which circumstances I don't understand is the Gazlan Koine, the Gizah, because it happened to be under his
aegis and auspices. It's a very good question. And this was discussed earlier in this year, and that is, it has to do with the fact that if the goslin would just go and put it somewhere in a cage and wouldn't feed it, guess what? It would not have any additional wool. It's only because that the goslin goes and feeds it and presumably has to feed it well. I mean, I'm not in the sheep raising business, but I'm assuming that the more that you feed the lamb, the greater the likelihood is that it will produce more and more wool, because it has that much more nourishment in its body, and therefore it can produce more hair or more wool for eventually cutting. So the gazan does have some tircha. It's not as if it happens just on its own, but derech
hateva. Why is it?
Okay?
And the same applies to the pregnant cow.
And when the pregnant cow is easier. That's true, but the cow is much easier, because the cow, he could have been very selective and only kept the female cow only with other females and be very gender specific. By allowing this animal to drezach among male animals, so therefore, and maybe in fact he made a chuppah of the kiddushin between a male and a female animal, you're now together. He certainly had a position. Okay.
Why is the Gemara approaching this from the point of view of the result? Mm-hmm. There is we know that you could rent an animal to work a
field. Why don't you go and charge?
You charge him rental fee. He used the animal for so many days.
Yeah.
The per diem rate for renting a cow for.
I hear you. I'm assuming that the amount that you of the appreciation is worth more than the expense.
So as long as we're penalizing to the max.
Exactly. That's my assumption.
Okay. Can the ganav also include his expenses for his stealing the animal? You know, he gets. We're rewarding him for him for feeding the animal, for caring for the animal. For
you're going back to the Mechza Shusha Revia before. Here we're penalizing the gazlan. We're not
rewarding.
Giving him
we're
not
we're
rewarding
crediting him for expenses.
Exactly.
But can he throw that into the mix?
All part and parcel of the Mechza Shusha Revia. The reason why an Oris gets a quarter, a third, or a half is because he has all that overhead and all the labor and all the time and the expense. And now we're saying, you don't give me a cheshbon. I'm not interested in all that. Just tell me at the end of the year, we have 100 bushels that were Baruch Hashem earned. You get out of the 100 bushels, you get 25. Whether it cost you a nickel, whether it cost you $1 million, is not my concern. You just get your mechza cheshbon. On to the next Mishnah. Okay, part of this Mishnah we already learned yesterday. Gozel behem of hiskina. He stole an animal, and the animal has now gotten old. Old to the point that we said yesterday, and one thing I was going to talk about again today, that it was koksha. Now it's a weak animal. It's not that, it's not no longer in its prime. Or avonim hiskina. He stole avonim, and they are no longer in their prime. They've also gotten weakened. Meshalim kishasa gzeli. You go and pay according to the shasa gzela. That's the tanakam. Meir oimer ba'avodim oim leshul chalfenech. When it comes to an eved, you say, I'm handing over the Eved, it's all yours, take it back the way it was. The Meir doesn't tell us what the din is Lagavi Behemoth, and you remember yesterday the Gemara wanted Medayik, Mashma, that the Meir agrees to the Tanakh Kama Lagavi Behemoth, Kishas Exela. No, Skon Zayin, he disagrees. That he holds it, that's also Hashal Cholofanecha, and the Machloik, as we said already yesterday, and we're going to deal with this a little bit further in the Gemara today, is why is Eved different than the Behema? Because an Eved is hukish lekarkois. And by karka, there's no such inyan of being koina v'shinoi, because karka ain't a nigzelis. You cannot steal karka. You can go and take a person and throw him out of the karka, but you can't go and uproot the karka and take it somewhere else. Karka ain't nigzelis. So the Gemara holds that Eved has the same din like karka, also ain't nigzelis. Since it's ain't nigzelis, says Remeir, I hold that avodim are kimakarkoi dami. So avodim are shal chalafanecha. Since I don't have any kinyan exela, take the eved the way it is. It was always yours. It never belonged to me. It's true. I've held him in my estate for the last 10 years. It's not true. But the mice said always belonged to you. I never got a kinyan. It's yours. I give it back to you. Shal chalafanecha. We'll talk about that more in the Gemara. Now, Gozel matbeya benistak. What happens? He stole the matbeya benistak and it got split down the middle. So obviously now it's no longer worth what it was worth originally. Or peiros, he stole peiros v'erkivu and they rotted. Or he stole yayin v'hechmetz and it got sour. And now it tastes like sour wine. Some people would call that chaymetz. They use it for vinegar. Mishalim kishas egzela. He pays according to the shas egzela because all gazlanim pay kishas egzela. That's what the zehaklal that we had at the end of the previous Mishnah. Matbeya v'nifsal. Now from here to the virtually the end of the Mishnah is going to be talking about changes that occurred which are not perceptible. What the Gemara calls elsewhere a hezik she'ein nikar. For instance, he stole a matbeya v'nifsal. And now a new government, until now it was Democrats and now it's Republicans, and they've decided they're taking George Washington off the dollar bill and they're going to put Donald Trump on the dollar bill. And they're saying anybody that has a George Washington bill, it's now worthless. You better send it back to the bank within 30 days. After that, only Trump dollars. Or whatever.
And if some means... Israel, they have new shekels, they old shekels.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, you have Truma Vinitmus. He stole Truma and it became Tameh. You and I cannot tell the difference whether the Truman became Tommy or not. It's a Hezek Shein and Nicker. Chometz follow with Pesach. That's what you were talking about before. You have Chometz and Pesach has now passed. And obviously now the Chometz is worthless. Behema v'nis avda ba'avera. You have a Behema and you allowed it to be used for Avera. What type of Avera, for instance?
Working on Shabbos.
Okay, I'm not working on Shabbos.
Nevad.
We normally talk about Nirva or Nevad. Nirva, Nevad, Nevad means that it was worshipped for... as an Avodah Zarah, just like in Mitzrayim, they used to go and bow down to the Behemoth, so now they use this Behemoth also for an Avodah Zarah, also, or it was Nirbas, it means that it lived with a human being. So then it becomes Posel, the Gavim Mizbeach. And that's, in fact, the Mishnah continues in the next case, Oishenifzlim al Gavim Mizbeach, because it had a mum. However, we're not talking about a major mum, because that would, of course, be a Hezek Nicker. Rashi says we're talking about a Doikin Sheba'ayin mum, a little nothing, that if you don't investigate or you don't inspect it under the microscope, 99% of the people wouldn't even notice it. Or it was an animal that we found was a behemoth that never killed someone, whether it was a tam or a mu, it goes l'skila, and therefore it's osabano. In all these cases, nevertheless, you can say, harishalachol lefanecha, I hand it over to you, I'm giving back to you what I stole, I give it back to you. We're of course going to talk more about all these cases in the Gemara. Now we start the Mishnah again. The Mishnah said, "Gozel behem v'hiskina." Omer Papa, lo yiskina hiskina mamish. Elafil kochish. It doesn't have to be dafka that it got old. Even if it got kochish, it got weak or it got mugger. Mugger means it got thinner. And the same Allah would apply. Same machloek to be tanakam and rebeh. Frankly, why not hiskina? Tanan shtei tach the Mishnah hiskina. So tomorrow kochish keep going hiskina to lehod the body. But really, what the Mishnah is telling us is it's the type of kach. Type of weakness that is irreversible. What's irreversible? Just like age is irreversible. Once a person turns at 119, you can't make him 19 years anymore. I mean, only in the case of Yecheven we find, but under normal circumstances, a person becomes old. They become old, and they become older. They don't become younger. So the kach that we're talking about is also just like age, which is irreversible, a type of kach, which is also irreversible. So we're not talking about a shinui ha-choyze le-biyose. Now notice he quotes it in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Now who did we quote this Gonav Tleh Venasa Ail? If you remember five lines before the wide lines, the Gemara said Lasu Yemai Lasu Yehud Umber Biloa Gonav Tleh Venasa Ail Egel Venasa Shar. Now we're repeating the exact same member word for word, but we're attributing it to Rabbi Yochanan. Why am I telling you this? Because this will come of importance in another couple of lines in the Gemara. So what do you say, Mishim Rabbi Yechanan? I feel the God of Tlev and Asa Ayil, Eglav and Asa Shor, Nasa Shina B'yodah, even though he didn't really do anything, it's just that it was under his auspices, under his aegis for that period of time, when it passed from Keves status to Ayil status, or Egel to Shor, Nasa Shina B'yodah, Mikroi now gets Kinyon Egzeil, and therefore Tav Chumach, Shloyu Tepech, Shloyu Moichi, doesn't have to pay Dalet Vehei, because it belongs to him. Omalais, he told him, Lava Minalacha, like Tachlef Gavri, you should be very careful. Don't switch around the names. That wasn't Rabbi Yochanan said it, it was Rabbi Yehuda that said it. Okay. Rabbi Meir Oimer, Bavodam Oimla Shulchal Lefanecha. Now, remember we had a machloikis in our Mishnah, Tanakama says, Kishasek Zeyla, Rabbi Meir says, Bavodam Shulchal Lefanecha. Omrav Chanina Barav Dimi, Omrav, Halacha kira meir, we pass the like Rameir. Now, why does Rameir say Bavodim harishol lechol lefanecha? Because Rameir holds avdik makarkoi dami, eved is like karka. Karka ain't an exelis, so therefore eved ain't an exelis. Therefore, there are no kinyone gezela, and whatever the way it was originally, azoiv zishtait and gait, whatever it was, harishol lechol lefanecha, you return it the way it is. Whether it's improved, whether it's in this case declined in value because it's becoming a skina. Just harishol lechol lefanecha. Freiting Gemara for Rav Shavik Rabbanim the Ovik Rameir. Why did we forget about the Rabbanim of our Mishnah? What did the Rabbanim say in our Mishnah that Rabbanim is skinny? You have to pay kishas exela. When you stole this eved 5 years ago, 10 years ago, the eved worth $1 million. Now that it's old and bent over, it's only worth $10,000. Why can you say harishol lechol lefanecha? Should have to. The Tanakam Achod is right. How are we passing like a das yochid against the Rabbim? Shavik Rabbanim Ovik Rameir. Because Rav found a brisa discussing these very issues, and the names were reversed. It was the Tanakama that said Avodim Harshal Cholafanecha. Remeir was the one that said Kishas Exil, exactly the opposite of our Mishnah. And therefore, when Rav said I pasken like Remeir, he doesn't mean that the even though it's Remeir against the Rabbanan, that in the brisa. The Rameir of our Mishnah, that's the Deya of the Rabbanan. It's as if the Mishnah began, Kozum Hei Miskina, Avodah Miskinu, Mishalem, Oimer Loi, Harishol Chol Lefonecha. That's the Rabbanan. Rameir in turn says, no, Mishalem Kishas Agzela. So when I'm passing like Rameir, I'm really passing like the Rabbanan. Even though in our Mishnah, the Rabbanan don't say, Hashul Chol Fanecha, but in the price it says that the Rabbanan holds Hashul Chol Fanecha, and that's the Halacha, and therefore I'm paskening like the Rabbanan of the Braisa, which is the same as Rameir of our Mishnah. Right tomorrow, for Rav Shavik Masis, Kibraisa, do you think a Braisa is more authoritative than a Mishnah? The Mishnah is more authoritative. And so therefore, since in our Mishnah it says that the Rabbanan hold Kishas Agzela, Rav, why don't you paskin Kishas Agzela? After more, Rav Masnisa, Nami Ibchatani. Rav, in fact, switched around the names in our Mishnah as well. In the Mishnayis of Rav, Rav made an emendation, and he had that the Tanakama, Gozel Behem, etc., you say Harishal Chol Lefanecha, and it was Rameir, not Rameir, and Rameir says, so now the Braisa and the Mishnah are exactly the same. Why does Rav feel that it's necessary to amend the Mishnah so that it should coincide with the Braisa? Why don't we switch around the Braisa so that it should fit the pattern of our Mishnah? And therefore, Rav should have paskin like the Tanakama, like the Rabbanan, and not like Rameir of our Mishnah. Don't tell me, well, I found a brisa where it's reversed. Who cares about a brisa? Chalach the Mishnah. Well, Rav changed the Mishnah around too. Why did he change around the Mishnah? Every Mora Amri Rav Nami Masnisin Ipcha Asna. Asna means, it's not that he switched around, he was taught by his Rebbeim. When Rav was in Cheder, a young man first learning Mishnayis in Gemara, his Rebbeim told him, don't learn the Mishnah the way we have it now. Learn it in reverse. Now, once you reverse it, although we say Rameir Oimer Avodim Oimer Shul Chol Fanecha in Rav's Mishnayis and Rav's Rebbeim, they learned that it was a Tanakama, the Rabbanan, that said Harishul Chol Fanecha.
Very hard, because Rav was a student of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi.
Mm-hmm.
We know from other Gemaras, I think in Erevin, and Rabbi Yehuda Anasi is in the Masada Mishnayis. So how could Rav have a different girsa of a Mishnah when Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was Masada Mishnayis?
How do you know that this bona fide reflects Rabbi Yehuda Anasi?
Because this is imprinted in every Gemara and Mishnayis that we have this way, right?
That's correct. But in Rav's times, in Surah, right? There were thousands of Gemaras that were printed, and they weren't printed the other way around.
Right.
Anyway, so Rav had it exactly the opposite. So Freit Timura, L'choyres of this L'shmer, the whole business of switching around, but Chanush Kabreir, that's the way his Rebbe's taught him. That's the first Lashon of the Gemara. Your original question was, how can you go and ignore the Mishnah in front of a Braisa? Should ignore the Braisa in front of the Mishnah. That's when it's exactly one and one. Because obviously the Mishnah is more authoritative than the
Braisa.
Right. You have two braises against one. Two against one, it's a different story. Where's the second one? The sign, you have a brace. Hamachl parabachamar, the older. person went and did a barter of a part of a chamar. And Rashi points out, when you do a barter of a part of a chamar, normally when you're coining an animal, you gotta schlep the animal, meshicha, or mesira, hagbar, whatever. Here, however, since you're doing a barter, all you have to do is schlep one of the animals, and then you're coining the other one, wherever it happens to be. So in the case over here, in the closing room, at the closing, they only had the chamar. The part was out in the field. And they went and schlepped the chamar. Okay, now Yankel, you own the chamar, and Beryl, you own now the parah. Very good. And she gave birth. And by shivcha, since you can be koina a shivcha v'kesef, then you don't need to have the shivcha present. The shivcha can be in her study, in her room, or wherever she happens to be. And guess what? Then you transferred ownership. Now, you come back after the closing is over, and they say, Mazel tov, the parah gave birth to a little baby kid. And Mazel tov, the shivcha gave birth to a baby kid. The question is, who does the kid belong to? Does it belong to the moicher before the transaction took place? And that's why it's so important that it says machlo parah b'chamar, that you schlep the chamar. The parah is out in the field. Time of clothing, nobody knows. Right. And you go and ask the parah, parah, when did you give birth to the animal?
She wasn't wearing her watch that day.
At number one, and she refuses to respond. You know why? Because she's a behaima. And the behaima refuses to respond.
That's parah for the course.
It's parah for the course. Love that. Anyway, so what does the Gemara tell us? I don't know who the baby belongs to. Does it belong to the parah? Does it belong to the shifcha? The shifcha didn't have a watch, as you say. Anyway, okay, so now we have the moichen lekeach. What was their tainus now? If one of them says, I know for a fact it was in my time, and the other one says, quiet. Zochaba. You have a case of bari v'shema, bari adif. This one says clearly my, the other one shema, zochaba. That's the probable case of both of the questions. You know, we were both in the closing room. Right. What do we know? What happened? Then yechloike moment of mutal safi yechloike. Zayim b'reshusi, zayim b'reshusi. Each one says vehemently, "No, it's mine." The yishova hamoiches b'reshusi yolda. Then the moiches should go make a shvua that it wasn't a shusite. After all, he was the original marakama over here. That it was in his reshus, and with that, he will be able to retain the vlad. Why? Once you make a shvua min haTorah, then you don't have to pay, and therefore he can retain, the moichah can retain the vlad, he doesn't have to pay the vlad. Divrei the part of b'chamor that I leave to you. But the case of the shivcha, there's no such thing as making a shvua on avodim and karkois. So you can't make such a shvua. So what do I see from this chachamim? That these chachamim hold that eved is hokish lekarkois. Ah, zokti yimara. Now I have two brises against one mishnah. Remember, back in our mishnah we said the meir oimer ba'avodim umle shul chalufanecha. What was the reason why? Because an eved is like a karka. Just like karka ain't nixelus, the eved ain't nixelus. There are no kinyan exelus. So no matter what happens to the eved, even 100 years later, you just hand over the eved and say, it's yours, because it was always yours. It was never mine. I didn't have the kinyan exel. Ah, so the mayor of our mishnah holds that eved is ke karka dami. Now, who else holds that? That first brisa also holds, but not in the name of a mayor. It's the name of the rabbanan. They hold that eved hukish to karkois. Guess what? I found another brisa where he said that eved and karka are the same. Einish boy le'avodim le'karkois. So now we have two brises that say in the name of the rabbanan that harshul l'cholufanecha. Or a nishbon alavodim ala kakoyis because eved hukishma kakoyis. I only have our mishnah which says that that's Rameir. That's one against two. Therefore, I favor the two, and that's why Rav switched around the order in the mishnah. Or he said, don't switch it around. We paskin like Rameir because Rameir holds like the two rabbanans of the two brises, and that's the real rabbanans. The mishnah calls it Rameir, but it's really rabban. Veitimara. Why does the Gemara say that Rav says they're passing like Rameir? He's really passing like the Rabban of the two Brises, and the Brunner of our Mishnah once he's switching around.
And also, Rav had this gears of the Mishnah, because he's saying in the name of Rameir. So even though he's saying the Halacha is this way, he's advertising the name of Rameir as advertising this Mishnah, which means Rav did have this version of the Mishnah.
Ah, and for the Mahachi Ka'amar, L'mayda v'chisu t'nisu, Halacha Rameir. According to me, Rav Lishitasi Lididi, everywhere all of the Mishnayis and all the Brises are all consistent. Each time, it's always the Rabbanan are the ones that say, Avdi kemakakoi dami. And therefore, in my Mishnah, not like the Mishnah that's printed in our Gemaras, the Tanakama said, not by Avodim Mishal Gishas Exela, it said the Rabbanan say, by Avodim, Uymarish Lechol Lefanach. It's Rameir that said, Sai Bebehim, and Sai Bavodim Kishas Exela. Ah, so the Rabbanan of our Mishnah, and the Rabbanan of the first Brisa, and the Rabbanan of the second Brisa, all of them hold Avodim Arke Karka. But you guys, meaning all of my contemporaries, says Rab,
with the mistake
that you have your
mistake
in your Mishnah, according to you, it's your Rameir. But according to me, in fact, it's my Rabbanan. Well, here we're going to stop. It should be continued tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisrael.
I'm sorry I stepped out.